Hey guys, John from fly8mikealpha.com, and today we are going over task D in the CFI PTS, Area of Operation 1, Fundamentals of Instructing. Task D in Area of Operation 1 is assessment and critique. So how are we going to effectively assess and critique our students? The objective here is to determine the applicant exhibits instructional knowledge of assessments and critiques by describing the below. Now, what do they want us to describe? Well, they want us to describe an assessment. What's the purpose of the assessment? The general characteristics of an effective assessment. Tell us the difference between traditional assessment, authentic assessment, oral assessment, characteristics of effective questions. And then they would like you to also go through types of questions to avoid. The second part of this is going to be critique. And for critique, they want you to talk about instructors versus student critique, or instructor versus student critique, student-led critique, small group critique, individual student critique by another student, self-critique, and written critique, all right? So let's get started here with assessment, all right? So we're in task D here. What is an assessment? It's a continuous process to analyze, appraise, judge student performance. You need to gather measurable information to meet the evaluation needs. You need to basically assess how the student's doing, see where they're at. You're analyzing and appraising and judging the student's performance. Now, the purpose of an assessment is to give practical and specific feedback, direction, and guidance on how to raise the level of performance. We're always trying to get better, right? There's never ever going to be a perfect performance. So the purpose of the assessment is to give that practical and specific feedback and direction and guidance how to raise the level of performance on the part of the student. It also contributes to the development of ADM and judgment skills. It's helping to develop those HOTS skills, those higher order thinking skills, which pertain directly to aeronautical decision-making. Giving that assessment of the student, giving them feedback, helps them develop those skills, those ADM skills. Now, general characteristics of an effective assessment are going to be that it's objective, flexible, acceptable, comprehensive, constructive, organized, and thoughtful. All right, it needs to have those characteristics. The general characteristics of an effective assessment are objective. All right, there can be no personal opinions or bias. You have to be honest. It needs to be flexible. The context may change the tone of the evaluation. The instructor must know what to say, omit, what to stress, and what to minimize at the right moment, right? So we need to know what to emphasize and what to minimize. It needs to be flexible, okay? We need to know what to say, what to omit, and what to stress. It needs to be flexible. The next characteristic of the effective assessment is that it has to be acceptable, all right? So you have to accept it. The student has to accept it. The instructor's qualifications and ability and sincerity, competence and authority all have to be there for the assessment to be effective. All right. So for the student to be able to accept the assessment, they have to believe that it is sincere. The instructor is competent, believe in their authority, respect their authority, and respect the instructor's qualifications and ability to actually make the assessment in the first place. If the instructor can't provide or can't prove they can do a steep turn on their own, just every time they demonstrate it, they lose 200 or 300 feet, then obviously their assessment of the student is not going to be acceptable to the student, all right? So you have to have an acceptable assessment. The student has to believe in your competence and authority as an instructor. The assessment also needs to be comprehensive, so you need to treat every aspect of the performance in detail. You need to balance between the strengths and weakness and assess what needs most improvement, all right? So we need to go over line by line, just like we're doing with the PTS, go over the performance line by line. All right, on taxi out, you did this. On the takeoff roll, you did this. On climb out, you did this. On the second stage climb, you did this. On cruise, you did this. Really break it down. It has to be comprehensive. And you need to give a balance between the strengths and weaknesses, all right? So you're going to need to find some things the student did good. If they did a lot of things bad, you need to find something they did good to balance it out so it's not just all negative. Okay, the next characteristic of an effective assessment is going to be that it must be constructive, all right? The assessment must be constructive. It must give positive guidance for correction, positive reinforcement, and inspire to improve, all right? If you're not inspiring them to improve, if you're not giving positive reinforcement, if you're not giving positive guidance for correction, you're just saying your landing was terrible, you were way off center line, but you're not making it constructive and telling them how to get back on centerline, how to keep the airplane on centerline in the first place, then it's not constructive. All right, so the effective assessment must be constructive. It also must be organized. All right, that's the next characteristic. It has to be in a logical pattern and flow nicely. All right, so let's talk about the flight lesson, start to finish. Don't jump around with the takeoff to the landing to the taxi out to what happened in cruise flight to what happened as they were shutting down or this or that. It needs to flow in a logical pattern. And it also must be thoughtful. All right, you need to recognize the student and their need for self-esteem, the need for recognition and approval from the CFI. So you have to be thoughtful in what you're saying and recognize the needs of the student, their self-esteem needs, and their need for approval from you, the instructor, all right? So be thoughtful in what you're saying and how you're presenting the assessment. The last part of the effective assessment, the last characteristic, is that it must be specific. It has to be clear, well-founded, supportable information, all right, expressed with firmness. All right, so you have to give supportable recommendations expressed with firmness. What this would be is you were left of centerline when you were landing. You can correct this by using a little bit more right aileron just before touchdown to control the sideways drift of the aircraft. All right, very clear cut, very simple, very clear, and it's well founded in a lot of background information we know about crosswind landings and why they might be winding up left of centerline. You could also say it's very common for students sitting in the left seat to be landing left of centerline because of a sight picture issue. We can fix this by going out onto the taxiway, taxiing down the taxiway centerline straight, and then stopping and you looking out and focusing on what that looks like and realizing that you want to be sitting on top of the centerline. You don't want to be coming in from an angle when you're trying to land on centerline on the runway, getting that sight picture burned into their mind, giving them a specific, clear, and well-founded, supportable recommendation, all right? So those are our characteristics of an effective assessment. It has to be objective, flexible, acceptable, comprehensive, constructive, organized, thoughtful, and specific. All right, be able to say just a little bit about each of those characteristics of an effective assessment. Traditional assessment, this is a little bit different, all right? So traditional assessments would be things like written testing, the private pilot written exam. So written testing, single correct answer within a given amount of time, rote memorization, measure the performance against an empirical standard. The characteristics are reliability, validity, usability, objectivity, comprehensive, and discrimination. Okay, those are the characteristics of the traditional assessment, what they try to achieve with the FAA written exam. We can leave opinions out of this as to whether or not they do it successfully, but at the end of the day, the FAA written exams are written testing, they're traditional assessments, they have a single correct answer within a given amount of time. It is mostly rote memorization, okay? They don't do a very good job of getting to that application and correlation level in those FAA written exams despite them trying, and they are making changes, and with the ACS coming out at the private instrument and commercial level, they are making great changes there to the written test as well. Now, an authentic assessment is something that would make you perform real-world tasks, demonstrate meaningful application of skills and competence, okay? It's going to focus on the learning process, encourage HOTS, higher-order thinking skills, HOTS, and it allows the students to assess their own work, okay? It's collaborative, and it's open-ended for questions for student self-assessment, all right? You can replay, reconstruct, and reflect, and redirect what has happened, all right? So the authentic assessment, really great type of assessment. The idea here, performing real-world tasks, something like going up in the airplane, performing tasks, and measuring the skills, demonstrating those meaningful skills and competence, and then focus on the learning process, apply some critical thinking for HOTS, and let the student assess their own work. Hey, was that steep turn good or was it bad? And why? Let them think about the why behind it. And that can encourage those HOTS, those higher order thinking skills. And it should be a collaborative assessment. So you're asking them to figure out why was the steep turn good or bad, but you're there to help. And you should ask some open-ended questions for the student to help guide their self-assessment. Now, that would be the authentic assessment. The next type of assessment we have is an oral assessment. Now, an oral assessment is basically just oral questioning, requiring the student to combine knowledge of facts with the ability to analyze situations, solve problems, and arrive at conclusions. It's what the oral exam of a practical test is all about, right? Just talking back and forth. So This is going to reveal the effectiveness of the instructor. It's going to check the student retention. It will review material, identify points that need more emphasis, and promote active student participation. And this is because you present something, an oral assessment should be part of just about every single ground lesson in really every lesson you ever provide. You should be teaching the student something and then providing an oral assessment, asking them questions to get them talking so that they can combine the knowledge of facts with the ability to analyze the situations and solve problems and arrive at conclusions. And why this reveals the effectiveness of the instructor is if you ask them a question about the four left turning tendencies after you just presented a 30-minute long lesson on the four left turning tendencies and they can tell you nothing about them, well, then you're probably not being very effective as an instructor. It checks the student's retention, how much do they retain out of that 30 minutes talking about the four left turning tendencies, reviews the material, gives them a chance to reiterate the material that you just talked about for 30 minutes, and it'll identify some weak points that need more emphasis. It's a great tool, and it should be a tool used in just about every time you're sitting down to talk with a student before the flight and after the flight, possibly in flight, but in flight may not be such a great time. You should always use oral assessments, basically just asking the student some questions. That's what an oral assessment is. Now, next, I'd like to talk about the characteristics of effective questions. So whether you're orally asking questions, it's a traditional assessment, you're developing a written exam, whatever it might be, it's an authentic assessment, what kind of questions do you want to ask the student? Well, there's several characteristics of effective questions. One of them is the question must apply to the subject of instruction. What does that mean? Well, it means that you have to have a question that applies directly to what you're talking about, okay? Don't ask a question about weight and balance when you're trying to talk about the four left turning tendencies, all right? The question must apply to the subject that's being taught. The next characteristic of an effective question is going to be it has to be clear and concise, but also clear and definite, all right? So not just concise, but definite. So clear, concise, and definite needs to meet that criteria. All right, don't just ask them, what are the times the airplane may want to climb? That's kind of an obscure, not very concise, not very clear question. You know, what are the times the airplane would want to climb? That's just doesn't make sense, right? So that'd be a bad question. So that's not a characteristic of an effective question. That would not be an effective question. Now, the next characteristic of an effective question is it must be adapted to the ability, experience, and stage of training. Don't ask them about constant speed propellers when they've only flown fixed prop airplanes or fixed pitch propeller airplanes, and they've got 4 hours on their logbook, and they haven't come anywhere near that section in the online ground school they're doing. So it has to be adapted. The question must be adapted to the ability, experience, and stage of their training to be effective. Now, the next characteristic is going to be, it has to be a center on one idea. The who, what, when, where, how, or why. Not a combination of who, what, when, where, how, or why. It should be, who does this? When do we need to do that? How do we perform this? Why does this happen? You don't want too many aspects to go into one question, all right? So you have to center on one idea. Who, what, when, where, how, or why, not a combination of those for it to be effective. The last characteristic of an effective question is it must present a challenge to the student. You can't just ask a student, what's 2 + 2? That doesn't present any sort of challenge. It's not an effective question. It's pointless. Obviously, they know what 2 + 2 equals. So you have to present some sort of a challenge to the student. How much does 30 gallons of avgas weigh? You know, that is a simple multiplication question, but it makes them think a little bit. 6 × 30 = 180. Okay. So those would be characteristics of effective questions. Now, the types of questions you want to avoid are going to be any sort of puzzle questions, oversized questions, toss-up questions where it could go one way or the other, bewilderment questions where you're just trying to trick the student. Of course, trick questions are bad. Or if it's totally irrelevant, you know, if you're saying, hey, read this METAR report from Canada. Well, they fly in the United States, so why would you read something from Canada? They do things different up there. It's not FAA standards. And if they're training in Florida, why does Canada matter to them anyways? Let them focus on Canada after they get their FAA private pilot license that applies to the United States. That would be irrelevant to ask them questions about Canadian airspace or Canadian weather when they're training under FAA standards. Don't ask them trick questions. Don't try to confuse the student. Don't try to bewilder them. Don't give them toss-up questions that could go one way or the other. Don't make it oversized. Make it short, clear, and concise. And don't ask them puzzle questions that are just puzzling to them or trying to confuse them. So those are the types of questions to avoid. Puzzle, oversized, toss-up, bewilderment, trick questions, or irrelevant questions. Now, moving on to the second part of Task D, assessment and critique. This is the critique part. So how do you critique a student? All right, there's a little bit of a difference between assessment and critique. Now, for critiquing, the instructor to student assessment considers positive and negative individual parts, relationships, and overall performance. Okay, the instructor must resolve controversial issues or erroneous impressions from the student. So you got to figure out what's in the student's mind and resolve any sort of conflicting information there. Now, there's an instructor-student critique. This would be an organized group discussion where everyone is invited to offer criticism. So the instructor and students kind of get together and it's a group setting. There's a student-led critique where the student leads the assessment, which may not always be efficient, but generates student interest and thus makes it very effective, all right? So it may be a little slow going, especially at the private pilot level when they don't know much, but you're saying, hey, critique yourself. How would you rate yourself? Take that grade sheet, if you're using a grade sheet with each lesson for your students, and say, hey, I'm going to go ahead and complete this grade sheet. I want you to complete it also. I'll print out an extra copy for you. You tell me how you grade yourself on a scale of 1 to 5 on, you know, these 10 things we did today, and then ask them why. Let them tell you why they gave themselves a 3 or a 5, why they think they did good or why they think they did bad. So that would be a student-led critique. Now, a small group critique would be groups divided to focus on a specific area to analyze. So combined reports can be a comprehensive assessment. That would be kind of nice, right? So you break them down into small groups. You have several students break down in small groups, and then you can combine their reports to make a nice comprehensive assessment of a certain topic. Maybe you have a ground school with 20 people in there. You break them down into groups of 3 or 4 and then combine them back together later on. So that'd be a small group critique. Now, the next type of critique here would be individual student critique by another student. So let's say you go flying in a Cessna 172, you throw an extra student in the back seat, they watch student A up front perform, student B sits in back, you, the instructor, sits in the right seat, and the student in the back seat watches them and then critiques them. This can be great for both students, can be a little awkward, you know, kind of hurts ego, so everybody's got to, you know, have good self-esteem and be able to make it through this and, you know, feel good about themselves. They're not getting crushed by their peers, but this can be really helpful to the student in the back seat and really helpful to the student in the front seat as well when you have that critique by another student. So that would be individual critique by another student. One or more students are asked to assess the manner and quality of the performance of the student performing a task. Now, the next critique here, self-critique. So the student critiques personal performance. This kind of feeds back into the whole student-led critique. So they're self-critiquing, right? So the student's going to critique their personal performance. That would be a self-critique. And then a written critique is a little bit more time than an oral critique, right? So they're going to sit down and they're going to have some time to think about what they want to write down and critique themselves on, more so than just, you know, spitting out some words. So maybe you finish up a lesson with a student and you're double booked and you say, oh, I got to go fly with this other guy. I want you to critique your performance. I want you to write down what you did good and what you did bad. This gives them a lot more time to sit and think about how the flight lesson went, and it allows them to devote more time and thought than just a traditional oral assessment. Now, this can be referred to at any time in the future, which is pretty handy. So you could ask them to evaluate their steep turns they just did on lesson 4. And then on lesson 15, you go back and revisit steep turns and ask them to provide another written critique of their performance. Then you can put the two together and show them how they're progressing in their own words even, which is pretty cool. And you could even do this as yourself, you know, it doesn't have to be done by the student. You could do a written critique. Grade sheets are a form of written critique. Every single time you finish a lesson, if you're doing grade sheets, you can compare those grade sheets from early on to the grade sheets later on in training and show the student the progress they're making, kind of help minimize some of those frustrations and boost their confidence a little bit that they are improving and show them how far they've come. That's the handy part about written critiques. They can be referred to at any time in the future. And it's a permanent record of suggestions, recommendations, and opinions of students, right? So if they're the ones writing the critique, it's a permanent record of the suggestions, recommendations, and the opinion of themselves, which is really handy to refer to at some point in the future. That would be all the parts of our critique. That is Task D of the CFI PTS Area of Operation 1 Fundamentals of Instruction, Task D, Assessment and Critique.